بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وقال تعالى رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك الفوز العظيم صدق الله العظيم respected brothers and elders our mothers listening over the receiver We have been discussing now over the past few months different Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, their biographies. And we have covered quite a number of them with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fadl that Allah allows us to speak about His greatness, to speak about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to speak about Sahaba ikram. But after listening to so many biographies of Sahaba, then we should pose a question to ourselves. That what difference have we found in our lives? What changes have we made? What new have we implemented in our lives? The advices that were shared, the teachings of Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, we have seen the biographies, we have heard, we have read. The loyalty to deen, the dedication, the devotion, the ittiba' of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love for Quran, and how they would immediately act upon the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without any hesitation whatsoever. The love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for them, the love for the sunnahs they had and how they brought the sunnahs in their lives, the sacrifices they made, right till their dying moments, the preference they gave to others over themselves, their akhlaq, their character. Now we can go on. But the question is, how much of these important advices and teachings have we brought into our lives? Therefore, a very great alim, Maulana Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullahi alayh, who had studied the history of Islam in detail, and he went very deep into the sirat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. And then he posed a similar question that I brought before you. And he says, if we compare ourselves to Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, and if you look at the era in which they were living, as far as population, as far as numbers, Sahaba were fewer in number compared to those who were disbelievers. So Muslims were in minority. And we can look at the battles also, Battle of Badr. 313 against 1,000. So Sahaba were few in number. In our times, we have got many Muslims, so many millions around the world. Then we find that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, that even though that they were few in number, but the caliber of iman they had, the strength of their iman, the courage they had, that they actually ruled over great kingdoms. Or they were, for example, in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the superpowers that existed at that time, the Roman Empire, Persian Empire, when the kings of Rome and Persia would just hear the name of Umar, they would tremble out of fear. There is a long story of a Sahabi, Rib'i bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala, and how he enters the court of or the palace of Rustam. Inshallah, some other time we will discuss that. But what courage he displayed. He was a little short Sahabi. And he had his spear in his hand. And he dragged the spear on the carpet of the king. It's a palace, tearing open the carpet. But he did that without any fear. In today's time, there are so many of such strength, and we have all the resources, yet we have no sultanate, we have no kingdomship over the world. So why is this the difference between us and Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in? They were few in number. And ulama say that in the beginning Sahaba were nothing. Look at the lives before accepting Islam. What types of lives they led. But the moment they embraced Islam, now they became everything. Kuch nahi the, aur baad mein sab kuch ho gaye. They were nothing first, nothing. But Allah gave them such honor, such dignity, such respect. Imagine angels coming down on the tilawat of a sahabi. Angels descending for the janazah, to attend the janazah of a sahabi. Angels descending to give ghusl to a sahabi. Allah sending salam for a sahabi. And there are so many incidents we can discuss, and we have discussed already. What is that? What honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them? What is our condition? So Hazrat Mawlana says, after doing research and looking deep into history and the lives of Sahaba, he says you would find one thing in them that gave them this honor, dignity, and this level of iman, and all that is, comes down to ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they placed their hands in the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they realized, they knew who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, and they had firm belief, conviction, that my success lies, my total success in my dunya, in my qabr, and in my akhirat lies totally in my obeying and following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam every step of his life. And this ittiba is not found in our lives. And that is why somebody mentioned so nicely that we have a nuskha, a prescription. And we can read it the entire day. But it would not have that effect. In fact, it has no effect whatsoever. Unlike a person who takes that prescription, goes to the pharmacy, gives it to the pharmacist, and then he gets a medication, and then he takes that medication. Now he gets cured from his sicknesses, illnesses, diseases. But the other person, he will look at the prescription, he can even frame it on his wall, and there'll be no change in his life. Therefore, we have to make this ittiba. And of course, to make ittiba of Sahaba, to make ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we have read the biographies of Sahaba, and there were such incidents that were discussed that we say, subhanallah, mind-boggling incidents. We can't understand. We are fascinated, we are amazed that what men they were, what type of people they were. So we have to have firm conviction if we want to really imitate and inculcate in our lives the teachings of Sahaba, the advices of Sahaba. We have said they're guiding stars. So we have to first have complete conviction that these people, this group of Sahaba, after Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, after all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, and Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, Harun alayhi salatu wassalam, every Nabi of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, this world, from the time of Adam, right till the day of Qiyamah, would never see a group like the Sahaba. Their character, their way of life, the love they had for this deen, the sacrifices they made, as I mentioned in the beginning, the loyalty, the dedication, the devotion, the ibadat. They had what we call as pakiza zindagi, a very pure life. If a sahabi erred, he made a mistake, immediately he would make tawbah istighfar. And they made genuine and sincere tawbah and istighfar. I'm going to digress. But if it's beneficial, a person comes, a woman, and she had committed adultery. And she comes out to Rasulullah, says, Ya Rasulullah, I have committed zina, give me my punishment. Rasulullah told her, now, you're 100%, this is what you did. And she insisted, and she said, okay, but now you're pregnant, go give birth and then come back. Anybody else would have gone to say, okay, I even confessed, and now Rasulullah said, must give birth and things that he may forget, and I can just disappear from the scene. She comes back after the child is born. Rasulullah sends her back. You see, the child needs somebody to feed it. Until it can eat on its own, then you must only come back. She goes back, and after the child is able to eat on its own, she comes back, brings up a child who has some crumbs in its hand. And Rasulullah sees that this child can now eat on its own. And then her punishment was given out to her. But they made sincere tawbah istighfar in the kitab Rujoo ila Allah, which has just come out, the story of Sa'adah radiallahu ta'ala. What lengths they would go to, and what type of tawbah and istighfar. When they would recite Quran, one verse, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, you know, he was such a brave person, such a strong person, such a bold person. But one ayat, وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ, when the scrolls of our deeds will be opened on the day of Qiyamah for us to see. That made him so sick, that the other Sahaba had to go to his house and visit him for days. So we have to have firm belief that these Sahaba were genuine, shining stars, and mankind has not seen any group after Anbiya alayhi salatu salam, the likeness of Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. And then we have to implement the teachings, the advices. We can read the malfuzat of Sahaba. There are so many things of Sahaba. We can frame them. We can make photocopies. We have literature. We have them on the internet. But these are sayings and these are teachings for us to implement in our lives. Inshallah, today we'll just discuss a simple sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And perhaps you have heard his incident before. But although the historians have not written much, ulama have not written much about his biography, but there is one incident in his life that really inspires us, and we really wish that we were in his position also. The sahabi, his name was Abdul Uzza before accepting Islam. And the incident behind this sahabi is that he was a very poor sahabi. Parents were extremely poor, living on a mountain top. They had hardly any food to eat, no money. So his uncle, his mother's brother, had no children, so he takes care of the sahabi. And of course, that uncle spoiled him with the best type of clothing and food, etc. He lived in Makkah. He lived a comfortable life. And then after some time, he began to hear of some new deen that had come, that is Islam. But he had no contact with any person. His uncle was a disbeliever. After some time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he wants to give somebody hidayat, Allah opens his heart. He became very curious. And as people were coming by, he would ask them, tell me about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me about what he is preaching. And they would give him some of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as the days went by, he became very curious and very interested in Islam. And now hidayat was coming into his heart, until finally he decided that let me accept Islam. But he was waiting for his uncle. Few years go by and he sees his uncle is still the same, he's not interested. So he goes to his uncle one day, he takes up the courage and he says, I am going to embrace Islam. His uncle becomes extremely angry, furious. He grabs hold of him, begins to beat him up, warns him that if you accept Islam, then I'm going to take away all the provisions and all the luxuries I'm giving you. and all the privileges you enjoy. This person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him steadfastness. And he said, whatever you do, I have embraced Islam and I'm going to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nabi Kareem Sam had gone to Madinah already. It is mentioned his uncle took away all his possessions, all his clothing. All that he was left with was two sheets only. In some kitab it is mentioned that his mother had given him those two sheets just to cover himself. In other words, his uncle took away everything. He makes his hijrat, he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now he's waiting to see the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He stands outside the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi Kareem comes out, looks at this person, he's draped in two garments, two sheets, just covering himself. This has his body covered, his satr covered. So he says, Ya dhal bijadain. The word bijad in Arabic means a sheet, a covering. Bijadain, two sheets. Oh, one who has just been covered with two pieces of sheet, of material. He asked him, who are you? He said, my name is Abdul Uzza. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, your name is Abdullah from now. But this Sahabi became mashur and famous with this laqab and title of Bijadain. Sahaba would only call him Dhul Bijadain, Dhul Bijadain. He had already embraced Islam. He recited the Shahada again to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He joins in the Salat. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam welcomes him in front of the Sahaba and says, that you come join us. You are our guest. After this Sahabi, he would always follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, advices, his teachings. He would bring the sunnah into his life. Ulama write that dunya never attracted him. He was always worried about the akhirat. Then comes Tabuk. Now we know the expedition of Tabuk. The sacrifices Sahaba made, it was extremely hot and they had to fight the Romans. No war took place, but the Sahaba had camped for long, many days, plus minus 20 days. And during this period, Dhul Bijadain comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I request you to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah must give me maut as a shaheed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raises his hand and he says, may Allah protect you from the swords of the disbelievers. May Allah protect you from the swords of the disbelievers. He says, Ya Rasulullah, ma hadha aradtu. This is not what I wanted. I want to become shaheed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, a person who is in the path of Allah, he's in the path of Allah, if he becomes sick, becomes ill, and he passes away, then he dies as a shaheed. And if a person is in the path of Allah, he's riding his horse, and he falls off the horse, he's wounded, and then he passes away, he says, فَهُوَ شَهِيد. Dies as a martyr. Not long after this, the next day or the following day, this Sahabi was gripped with very severe fever. And he passed away in that condition of having a fever. It is late at night. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala was going by. And he sees some light in the distance. So he goes closer. He sees it is Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And they're standing by a grave that was just being dug up. And then he goes close and he observes. He sees that Rasulullah himself had gone down in the grave alone. Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala are carrying a Sahabi in their hand. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs them, that bring my brother closer. Bring my brother closer. And then they lower his body and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, with his own Mubarak hands, puts him into the qabr and buries the Sahabi. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, oh my Allah, I was happy with this Sahabi of mine. Oh my Allah, you also become pleased with him. He says, how I wished Ya laytani kuntu sahib hadhi al-ufra. I wish at that moment that I was the inmate of that qabr, getting the mubarak dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was blessed that Rasulullah with his own mubarak hands buried him. According to some kitabs, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only buried 5 people with his own hands. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala was one of them. Turbijadin is another. So 5 or 6 people, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself buried them. Others, he was there. But there must be something that Allah ta'ala made Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bury this sahabi himself. And Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala says, I had this desire that I must be the inmate of this qabr, although I had embraced Islam 15 years before Dhul Bijadain. And I had a longer period in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I had, and of course, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, we discussed him, what ulum and what knowledge Allah had blessed him, and what a caliber of sahabi he was. But he says, I wish I was this sahabi. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a maut in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us. These were our pious predecessors. These were sahaba ikram. These were the shining stars. And if we do not read the biographies, and we don't make that firm intention that, Ya Allah, whatever little I can bring into my life, Ya Allah, you give me the tawfiq, our lives will go past. We will pass and we will leave this world. Time is running out. Tonight or today is the 12th of Sha'ban. And I don't want to go in that direction. But it is exactly 1 year since Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali passed away. I've got no intention to mention his blessings and his virtues. We all are well aware of it. If we were blind at that time, but even after his death, our eyes should have opened. The question is, 1 year has passed. Each one of us. We don't have to worry about the next person. Introspect our own lives. 1 year has passed. What changes have we brought into our lives? What genuine positive changes have we brought into our lives? There are series upon series, there's bayanats, there are literature, there are books, there's vows, nasihat. We heard, we are still hearing of his. But let us question ourselves, what change, positive change have we brought? What have we implemented from his life? What have we brought into our lives? Are we still the same? Or is there a decline in our spiritual progress? If we are still the same, or there is a decline, these are things that we should worry. Just now be 15 Sha'ban will pass away, will go away, expire, and then Ramadan comes, and Ramadan will go away so fast. Nobody has got barosa how long he is going to live. We have seen enough janazas, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us in this masjid that such a great beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which every great alim, leave the normal people like ourselves talking about the mort of Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullahi Ali, every great senior buzurg of the world, till today, only has praise for him. Not a single person till today has ever came up to me or any person and spoken ill of him. Nothing, not even one bad quality. Now these were people whom Allah gave us to see with our own eyes. On the day of Qiyamah, let it not happen that Allah questions us. And Allah asks us that you had such a great wali of mine amidst you. You had every access to him. And even after his demise, his teachings continued. His bayans were still available. His series were still available. What excuse are we going to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The same sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in will tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they can tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we spread your deen, and we did so much. And if they have to face us, and we have to face them on the day of Qiyamah, they will say that you kept your names like ours. You kept your children's name like ours. But was the The naam was same. But was the calm the same? Were your people's deeds like our deeds? Were yours actions like our actions? Now these are serious things, serious issues for us to ponder over, reflect. It is never too late. It is never too late. So these biographies of Sahaba we are discussing, our intention should be that let us bring this into our life. One or two points. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives tawfiq after that to whomsoever He wishes and how much He wishes. That is totally in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we can make a firm intention and make some effort at least. Then Allah ta'ala rewards us. Then Allah gives us futuhat. And then Allah opens the ways. Then Allah lights up our hearts. Then Allah protects us from evil. And Allah saves us from sin. And then Allah gives us that wilayat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. We won't take much time, but we had commenced the Surah Hujurat, and of course we had so many other programs in between. I wish to just complete the Surah Hujurat today, and next Thursday and Monday, inshallah, the coming Monday, if Allah give us tawfiq, we would like to discuss aspects pertaining to Ramadan, inshallah. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim, bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير. We had discussed previously about gossiping, about making ghibat, about having suspicion. We mentioned various incidents, and we also mentioned the harms of suspicion, the harms of ghibat, etc. Today's ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O people, we have created you from a male and a female, min ذكري وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل. We made you into tribes and we made you into groups. Why? لتعارفوا, so that you may recognize one another. Now even in our communities we have different groups or tribes, as we say, or family, different names. But the purpose of all this is just to recognize one another, not to belittle any person, not to scoff at any person, not to think of yourself to be superior. Well, I come from that particular village, and therefore I am greater and most, I'm superior to others. Allah says, "Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum." The most noble amongst you in the eyes of Allah, in the sight of Allah, atqakum, the most righteous, those who have genuine taqwa, those who have piety. Inna Allah alimun khabir. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowing. Allah is well aware. In the time of Sahaba, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us. There was no such thing as racism. There was no such thing as looking at the color of the person. If he is black, then he'll be looked down upon. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, he was an Abyssinian. And if you look at his background, he came from nowhere. But the moment he embraced Islam, the honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, day and night, what was his job? To call out the adhan, to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He became Sayyiduna Bilal, our master Bilal. Sayyiduna Bilal, our master Bilal. There is a sahabi by the name of Zahir radiallahu anhu. Zahir was not very good looking. Kana dhamiman. And he used to come, he was from the village, come to the town of Medina city. He would bring some things from this, from the farm, perhaps some vegetables, some food for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as hadiya. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had such love for him that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would also give Zahir something before he would return. Some hadiya. Once he comes to Medina, he's in the marketplace, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes behind him, grabs him from the back, covers his eyes, pulls him close to his chest. Zahir is beginning to push. He doesn't know who is this person. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is holding on to him. When he sees it is the Rasulullah sallam who's holding me, then immediately he stops. And he enjoys the chest of Rasulullah sallam being pressed on his back. Then Rasulullah sallam says, "May yashtari minni hadha al-abd?" Who will purchase the slave from me? So Zahir says, "Idhan wallahi tajidani kasidan." He says, oh Messenger of Allah, I swear by Allah, you will find me, if you have to sell me, you'll gain no profit whatsoever, you'll gain a loss. Black slave like me, ugly looking, Who's going to purchase me? You'll be at a loss. Rasul says, by Allah, I swear by Allah, in the eyes of Allah, you're not Qasid. In the eyes of Allah, Allah has got great love for you. Allah has kept you in honor and dignity. So they didn't look at color. Another sahabi, the name of Aswad Aslami radiallahu ta'ala, he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah seated with the sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, and he had embraced Islam, and he tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will my blackness and my ugly appearance prevent me from entering Jannah? أَيَمْنَعُونِي سَوَادِي وَدَمَامِي مِنْ دُخُولِ الْجَنَّةِ Rasulullah said, no, never. As long as you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you bring iman in what Allah has, what I have brought, and what I am teaching you, the Quran. So if you have iman, then you will enter Jannah. Then he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have recited the kalima. So what is there for me? So he says, exactly what is there for others? Laka malil qawm. All those who embrace Islam, you'll gain the same benefits, privileges. And whatever Islam has prohibited, if you do that, and whatever punishment the rest is been given, you'll get the same. You are their brother. You have embraced Islam, you are the brother of Sahaba, you are the brother of the believers. He says, I have sent a proposal to so many people, and some of them, the daughters, that the woman who I had sent proposal to, their fathers are sitting with you. But everybody has rejected my proposal. And there are many others I sent a proposal to those people who are not, they are not in your gathering. Rasulullah tells him that go to a certain person by the name of Amar radiallahu ta'ala and tell him, knock on the door and tell him when he opens the door, of course after making salam, that the Nabi of Allah has got me married to your daughter. He goes, knocks on the door, person and opens the door, he makes salam, alaikum salam. He says that the Nabi of Allah, Rasulullah has given your daughter in my nikah. This person gets a shock of his life. He shuts the door on his face, sends him away. His daughter overhears the conversation. She was there in another room. She comes out to her father, please, before Allah disgraces you through his wahi, he's been sent by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No matter what his appearance is, I am prepared to marry him, so please go. And before he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the time the father went, the sahabi goes back, he's rejected, he says, Ya Rasulullah, I went, and this person chased me away. Father goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem tells him that, Radatta Rasuli, I sent my messenger to you. You chased him away. You rejected him. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I made a mistake. I thought he was lying that you sent him. But we have given our daughter in his nikah. Rasulullah tells him, now go and prepare. I performed your nikah, or the nikah was performed, and tell now buy something. You're going to live with your wife, so get things that you require. He goes to the marketplace. And as he's purchasing something, he hears announcement being made. Ya khayl Allah irkabi. That, oh horseman, mount your horses. There is an i'lan made of jihad. You must go out now in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he goes and he purchases an armor, sword, but he covers his face and he goes with the sahaba. Nobody recognizes him. He fights very bravely in the battle. And suddenly Rasulullah sees him, his face was slightly exposed then, recognizes him. He says, it is you, Sa'ad al-Aswad? Ya Sa'ad? He says, it is me. And then he fights till he is wounded, he's injured, collapses, and he passes away. And Rasulullah places his head on his Mubarak lap. Then Rasulullah sends his weapons to his wife, and he sends a message to his in-laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now performed his nikah to somebody better than who he had married in this world. Nevertheless, this is his mirath. This is whatever he has left behind, his sword and his armor or his shield, and this will go to his wife. But the lesson here is that Rasulullah did not look at the whether the person was handsome, whether he was black or white. His appearance did not matter. Each person is judged according to his taqwa. And nobody knows what type of taqwa the next person has got in his heart. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. There were some Bedouins from the Banu Asad tribe. They came to Madinah Munawwara. There's a long history behind what they used to do in Madinah. But they made as though they had embraced Islam fully. So this Banu Asad tribe, when they came and they professed that they were Muslims, of course they were treated like the other Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. But these people had some bad qualities. They would make a lot of dirt in Madinah. And they were responsible for raising the prices of the commodities in Madinah. And they would keep on coming to Rasulullah SAW and boast to him about their having embraced Islam. They say, we didn't have to fight you, we embraced Islam voluntarily, and we came with our families. And there were various favors of this upon Rasulullah SAW that they would keep on reminding Rasulullah SAW. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding these people, Allah says, قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا. That these Bedouins say, we believe in Allah and his Rasul SAW. Allah says, قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا. Say, O Muhammad SAW, tell them, لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا, you have not brought iman. وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا, yes. The most you can say, أَسْلَمْنَا, we have just accepted Islam. Iman has not yet penetrated the hearts. In other words, it is not just the attestation of the kalima. That's important, very important. That's one part. But with that, you have to have firm conviction from your heart, within your heart, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all the other tenets of deen. So until this has not happened, then the person cannot claim that he is a true mu'min. Person just recites kalima. But iman hasn't penetrated his heart. Therefore, in one hadith, Rasulullah said, Ya ma'ashara man amana bilisanihi walam yufdil imanu ila qalbi. Rasulullah addressed a group of people and he said, oh, those who have believed just verbally, while its iman has not gone into the deep recesses of the heart. Now this is great, there's a big academic discussion about iman, Islam, we're not going to go into that. But these people, they were told, say, أَسْلَمْنَا وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلُ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Because iman had not yet entered the deep recesses of the heart. They didn't have that firm conviction. وَإِنْ تُطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَا يَلِدْكُمْ مِنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ شَيْئًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. If a person brings full conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has full iman now. Whatever good deeds he does, it will not be destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of his previous sins. Whatever wrongs he did before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not deprive him now if he obeys Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, لَا يَلِدْكُم مِّنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ شَيْئًا. Allah will not break off anything. Allah will not destroy any of your deeds, any good deeds you do now if you obey Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Allah is most forgiving, or Allah is most merciful. If you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah forgives your past. Allah forgives you. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Allah says, the believers are only which? Who are the believers? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. We have full, firm conviction. They believe in Allah and his Rasul. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. Then after that, they have no doubt whatsoever. They have no doubt in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in deen, iman, Islam. وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And they strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their wealth and themselves. Ulama say here, وَأَنفُسِهِمْ. One is the physical self of the person. And other ulama have also mentioned that a person makes mujahada of his nafs also. So all the time there is this jihad of the nafs. So there is a physical jihad. A person spends all his wealth and he strives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also there is this jihad against nafs and shaitan. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. These are the truthful ones. They have genuine sidq in them. They are loyal. they are dedicated, they are sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would come and tell Rasulullah, they would boast about the iman. You see, we are believers. Allah says, Qul, O Muhammad, tell them, أَتُعَلِّمُونَ اللَّهَ بِدِينِكُمْ You trying to teach Allah about your deen that you have got iman? وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ Allah has knowledge of everything in the skies and the earth. You don't have to come and boast about your iman. You don't have to come and inform or keep on telling Rasulullah that you are a believer. وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ Allah has knowledge of everything. يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا These people, they come and they remind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They consider it a favor that they have embraced Islam. قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is commanded, tell these people, لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ Do not consider your bringing Islam as a favor to me. بَلِلَّهُ يَمُنُّوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ But it is a favor of Allah that Allah has given you hidayat. All of us, this is a lesson for us. MashaAllah, we are proud, we are Muslim, we have Iman. But if you ponder, who gave us that Iman? Most of us with the fadl and the karam of Allah, we were born Muslims, born believers. And even those who embrace Islam, later on, then also they should always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Allah. And really show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh my Allah, it is only your kindness upon me that you guided me. بَلِلَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ Rather Allah has done you a favor by guiding you to the path of Iman. If you are sadiqeen, if you are saying the truth. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ Verily Allah has knowledge of the unseen of the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees all that you do. Therefore Allah knows of our secrets. Allah is well aware of our outward actions. Allah is well aware of our inner actions. We cannot hide anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever our intentions are, Allah is well aware of our intentions. Whatever thoughts go through our minds and our hearts, Allah is well aware. If we have evil intentions, Allah is well aware. We cannot escape Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ Allah is talking about the unseen of the sky. Allah has got knowledge of every small particle in the sky and every small dust particle in the earth. Allah has knowledge of everything. Therefore, we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make shukr every single day. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَاللَّهُ Do not deviate our hearts after you have guided us and bestow your mercy upon us. And we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make tawbah, istighfar, shukr, sabr. This is our life, and this is how we reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as we mentioned previously, many times we have heard from our mashayikh and our elders, this life of coming towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a life of boredom and one that we don't look forward towards. It is something that Allah ta'ala gives a person such serenity, peace in his heart, contentment. Because we don't have it, we shouldn't feel that the other people who are enjoying, they don't enjoy that. Person who turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned the other day, take those baby steps to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah comes running to you. We have to make the tawbah istighfar. All that is required from our side, that firm determination, resolution. Oh my Allah, I want to come towards you. And Allah opens the ways. May Allah ta'ala give us hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.